Come on, was it good that you told them this morning? Praise God. Truly such a blessing tonight. We'll give honor to the Bible quiz for those that are part of Bible quizzing. All of the body of Christ that served yesterday in hosting the Bible quiz finals. I believe it's a South something conference. South Central region. Boy, it gets complex. You start talking about all these different regions. And so many churches all the way from Missouri, around, everywhere coming in. The amazing thing with Bible quizzing is just watching these little guys quote the word and have the true spirit of it. And fellowship, food, wonderful, beautiful. The impact of serving in every capacity of the church, you never know who you affect. I said, you never know who you affect. And it's just beautiful. Amen. This morning, I just feel strongly that God wants to remove question, doubt, physical frustration, and replace it with faith that is unwavering. Pastor, we've heard faith preached all our life, obviously. I made this statement, and I will let you be seated just a moment. Made this statement to a preacher yesterday. We're living in a world that is upside down. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, there was one day of Pentecost. Nowhere in the history of the Word of God do we ever hear of an upper room experience. Amen. There was one Peter that preached the message on the day of Pentecost. There was one outpouring of the presence of God. What was that? What was the outpouring? It was the receiving of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave utterance. Amen. If you don't believe this preacher, go back to Acts and start reading in Matthew and go all the way through the New Testament and tell me where, because I need revelation, because this is where I'm at with God and we're talking. Today in our world, there is thousands of Christianity. I'm not mad about it. I'm just being honest. We can look at all the different multiples of religion that comes from within. And I believe that God has given me personally a little revelation for Harlan. This is God's church. This is God's world. Hallelujah. I don't want to get ahead too much because I want to hurry. Amen. As much as I'm feeling right now, we may be here a little while, but I promise I'm going to try my best to just get it out. Let the Holy Ghost lead. Psalms chapter 42, verse 1. Reading quickly, it's on the overhead, but if you want to look, you can in your word, the Bible. To the chief musician, Mishael, for the sons of Korah, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night. My tears, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God. Went with them to the house of God. With the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the harmonies. Excuse me, I don't have my glasses with me here. I'm trying to pronounce. From the hill of Mizar, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the nighttime his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. 9, 10, and 11 will say unto God, my rock, hello, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, mine enemies reapproach me while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen. I have preached all around faith. I have preached all around the possibilities and the priorities and on and on. I looked up in the Word of God in my little file that I had, and somewhere between 400 to 420 messages obtained to faith. In my short menu of preaching in 20-something years, over 400 messages of faith has went forth, not only from this facility but across where God allows me to preach. But this morning, I don't want to negate or build up anything, because I am the lowliest of all to be honored to stand in this pulpit today and to be simply called a servant of God. You look at your neighbor and tell them, you are a servant of God. Did they receive that? Let's go to the Lord in prayer quickly. God, we love you this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the word that is living. It's alive. I pray this morning that your servant could obey you. Lord, I'm nothing but thy servant, thy voice piece of this building. On the 20-something day of June, I pray that the voice could move in this body. Let every doubt in this building be revoked, God. Let the spirit of the flesh be put under submission to the word. That which David spoke unto us by the word, let us know that we're all human, we're real. We all have failures and possibilities, but you're the only answer that we have, God. And no matter what life brings, we're going to stand strong in the future of the things of God. Everybody say in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. We are in the hour again, as I said earlier, where the world is upside down. But as I began to read a book recently, started on Friday, I believe it was Thursday, about the possibilities of what Hitler brought to the world, the confusion of communism, the one world government, and all the things that go on in this situation, I would not take away from without due understanding of the completion of the book. But gains I gathered from this, I realized that through from the beginning of Genesis, where Eve was commanded and Adam was commanded not to partake of something, when God created man, he gave us the ability to understand this. You have choices. You can either obey or you can refuse to obey. I want to just kind of talk to us a minute and get fired up in a second if God wills. When everything is perfect, let me talk to us. When everything's perfect, the human flesh wants to raise up within itself and become a God within itself to make decisions. We see it throughout the Bible, all through the Old Testament. Men were raised up. Prophets were raised up. Men and women of God were raised up. The children of Israel were raised up. And when God gave to them, they forgot who they were. They negated to fulfill the promises of God. This morning, I want to remove, if I may have the privilege to impart into your life and to get into your brain and tell you, God wants to change you. God has the ability to change you. God has the ability to give you something that will change your life forever. Along very similar lines, I would ask this question. Where is the living God? The hour we live in of the utmost confusion, the impossibilities, the frustration, the political world is trying to take up our time. I'm going to get in some of your baskets this morning. I hope I get you ticked off. Because the devil gets you upset every day. This world gets you upset every day. Your checking account gets you upset every day. We make mistakes, but we got to get on big boy britches. And we got to understand when I make a mistake, I've got to say I'm wrong. And we can't blame it on the devil. Hallelujah. I'm not here to preach doubt, and I'm not here to preach frustration or just to get you upset, make you walk out mad at Brother McClay. I'm here to lift you up. Hallelujah. You don't correct your child and want them to have an anger problem the rest of their life. But you got to learn after you correct them, you got to tell them, I love you. And the reason I love you is because I corrected you. God give us a commandment. God give us the Ten Commandments. He give us the Word of God so that we could condition our life and follow after the Word, not after the flesh. There's utmost confusion in the world. There's utmost confusion in the church. My own set marks of how that the church, Christianity, has thousands of Christians in the world. They profess Christianity, but they don't possess God. It's a powerful word. I'm a Christian. But where is your prayer when you need it? When you can pray the prayer of faith and the God of heaven. May I pause and tell all of us there's one God again. I'm going to preach it till God takes me from this world. There's one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And you can't have God if you don't have the Holy Ghost. You can't know God in the fullness if you haven't spoken in tongues as the Spirit of God gives utterance. We got to be buried in the name of Jesus Christ. I like going head to head because I just want my spirit just so swelled up that Orland gets pushed out of the way and the God of heaven and eternity steps forward and there's something of integrity comes out and somebody said, I don't know what I'm feeling, but I tell them I know what it is. It's not this old gray-haired man, but it's the power of God that worketh within us. I'm talking about the living God. We're living in a world where fear speaks plain with our questions. Perplexity is a rampant thing that we must remember. The devil wants to remove our security. He don't want us to believe that God is still a healer. But I'm here to preach fear out of this place. I'm here to preach doubt out of your life. I want to remove that complex purity or the plexitivity of the things of this world. It's time the church stands up strong. I had the privilege to drink a little coffee early this morning after prayer with Brother Phillips. I made this statement. I said, Brother Phillips, I believe that God is getting frustrated with the church. Ideologies, personalities, my way, the highway. Well, I got a 5-year degree. May I just preach this morning? Come on, I didn't hear enough of that. I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to preach anyway. But I pray you're on the boat with me because we're fixing to go somewhere. I don't care if you got a 100-year degree. Your mind was given to you by God. God's the one that gave you a soul. God's the one that gave you a breath. God's the one that gave you everything you have. And it's up to us to understand. Am I going to allow Orland McClain to get in the way of the process of God, the will of God, the purpose of God? Fear is of the devil. Well, excuse me. Got a girdle up here. I said, fear is of the devil. I guess I need to come down here and say it again. Fear is of the devil, but the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I got to remember who God is. I got to remember he's the one on the throne. Ooh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost in fire. I'm going to talk to everybody in the building. If you're on the mountaintop when you got the $1 million check, I hadn't got mine yet, but praise God, it's coming. Right now, I don't know what to do with it if I had it. Praise God. And then tomorrow, life struggles and circumstances, we're down in the valley. Oh, my soul, when the waves are hitting me. Oh, if we could listen to what David said. God is everywhere. All the time, anytime, if it's good, if it's bad, if it's shaken, or if you're glad, God's everywhere. He's good. I told my wife yesterday, I said, I'm about fed up with this dog. You've heard about Tux, it was her dog. Then it's our dog. Then I took ownership, said, well, I guess it's my dog and her dog. But there's one thing that little dog has taught me, it's patience. Yesterday morning, I was going to sleep just about a few minutes late, but he knows the time clock when I get up. I don't set an alarm. He knows when I normally get up. And all I could hear when I'm trying to shave and not shake and be so angry that I had to be angry and said not. I hear, yep, yep, yep. I got a potty, daddy. If you don't hurry up, you're going to have to clean up an accident. I said, I'm coming. You better let me finish these few hairs, boy. Come around the corner trying to shave and be careful. And the doors, oh, the bedroom's open. I'm like, he done climbed out of the cage and come open the door. My Lord, he had to go bad. Look, the bed's empty. My wife's gone. I said, whoa. Ooh, the earth's shaking. It's early. She's already out of bed. What's that got to do with what God and who God is? Let me tell you what it did. I was sitting in the office yesterday afternoon after Bible quiz, and I had a good time for a few minutes, went home, and I sat at the table while Mama was taking a little nap, and he's down there on the floor, and he's like, yep, right. And I'm trying to read the Word. I'm just looking up scriptures. Boy, I felt the Holy Ghost, and I'm like, hey, dude, quiet down a little bit. I got it. Mama's sleeping. Shh. He wouldn't stop. Some mornings he's lackadaisical and he gets happy with a bone or a treat or something. A little bear he's got, you know, I think it's a little rabbit or something. I don't know what it is. One's blue and one's a little thingamajig's brown. She buys them. I don't know. Me, I'd put him out there in the swimming pool to shut the lid. Praise God. I'm playing. I'm not cruel. I'm not cruel online either, I promise. He's good. He's got all his shots. He's happy. Whew, hallelujah. Is this all right? Good. But I kept looking at him. And I'm like, dude, you need to be quiet. Tell her, Brother Gantz, you need to be quiet. He look at me. I get his bone or that little thing and put it back over, and I play with him. And I gotta get. I'm in the flow. Come on, man, don't mess me up. I gotta get this word. I need it in my heart. God's talking to me. How does God talk to you when a dog's barking? Let me tell you why you ask that question, because you go to work and you let the work involve you, and you don't allow God to stay inside your spirit. There's a God that's living. He's wanting to abide. He's wanting to be in your mind. I said, are you preaching to me? And the humorous part was when I said, are you preaching to me now? He's like, rah, 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 rah. I said, hallelujah, amen. You agree, huh? Arr. He grabbed my socks and started pulling my socks off and had my toe with it. I'm like, ah! What's that got to do with your message this morning, Brother McClain? There's a reality. Reality is when you can see something. If you see that screen, you know there's a screen there. But can you see the screen here? No. Can somebody see a screen there? I hope not, because there's not one. If you do, we got to get you that surgery Brother Phillips had. But it's hard for us to see something that we can't see. But Tux began to just talk to me, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, if you would get the determination and demand my presence as this little dog demands of you, I, the living God, will walk with you. I will be on every step of the way. There's one thing about that little dog. If I'm in the house, he's roof, roof. If I'm in the backyard, he's roofing, roofing. It don't matter if I'm in the bathroom. It's wherever he's allowed to go, he's going to bark. Because he demands attention. He wants love. He wants affection. I propose a question to somebody this morning. Are you so happy living in the world that you don't have to have God? Are we so tied up in our life and our family and all these things? Are we so caught up that we cannot get the blessings of God in fullness? Because the only time we cry out, I've been playing with little Tux, and I'll pull hard on his hair or something, or I'll get a little rough, and he'll, instead of a bark and a big growl, he goes, ow, ow. And my baby doll over there, she said, don't hurt him. There's a difference between affection and desire and wanting that attention and love. Then when you have to cry out only when something in life. Brother McClain, this is crazy. You better believe it. Because I'm here to rebuke faithless generation. I'm here to remove you being caught up in your abilities as a human. And I'll be very abrupt this morning and very plain in this last hour we're living in. There's doctors that's going to hell. because they learn the physical anatomy of the body. They learn how to do things in working on bodies. They learn how to replace knees and open up hearts. And they learn how to take a heart and put stents in. They learn how to go into the brain. And technology is so beautiful. Am I negating that? No, it takes a lot of study. It takes a lot of time. It takes hours of trying to figure it all out, the parts of the body. But if we spent the same amount of time and getting a spiritual degree in the Holy Ghost, engineers here learn how to build things in the physical. But may I propose, every degree that man has created for the success of a man is going to pass away. But there's one thing that's going to last forever. And that's the soul that God Almighty created. Tux is going to pass away, but God allowed me to have a stubborn little dog to realize there's some things that God just desires of Orland. It don't matter if it's in the middle of the day. It don't matter if it's early in the morning, late at night, or when you're driving down the road. God wants to have somebody talk to him all the time. Brother McClain, you don't know my problems. You don't know where I am. My friend, I don't need to know your problems. I don't need to know your name. I don't need to know your failures, your weakness, your past. It's time for us to forgive and forget. I preached on that. It's time for us to have faith. I preached on faith. It's time for us to move some things out of our life and move on and start living for God. Told that preacher, I said, let me tell you something. I'm going back to what I said about Acts, the second chapter. There was one church. They're having a good time and they're hollering out. They're learning how to fish, be fishers of God, fishers of men. But there was one apostolic Holy Ghost outpouring on the day of Pentecost. Peter preached it to us. But a dysfunctional, disunified world of Christians cannot fulfill the purpose of God. Brother McClain, how do you know that? I told an elder just yesterday. I stepped out and went in the men's prayer room. He called me and I said, I need to run something by you. I told him what I was feeling the revelation of God was for the hour that we live in. He said, Brother McClain, the same things that you're feeling, the forefathers, your dad, verbal being, has said to me. This man is almost 80 years old. But he said, there's something that goes back to what my father preached years ago in 1970s. Most likely you'll never change. You hear this young preacher? Young preacher. I'm sure not 80 years old, I promise you. But you hear me this morning, there is a spiritual rebellion within the church. There is a selfish rebellion. I'm somebody. There's rebellion in the world because the politics, well, the Republicans are the men for the hour. Let me tell you something, there's more deception in the Republican Party. I'm online, I don't care. I'm going to obey the Holy Ghost this morning. There's deception in the Democratic Party. You can't fix politics. You have an opinion, but my opinion don't predicate your opinion. An opinion is only worthy to justify the flesh. But the fact is, we got to look back at the Word of God. He made this statement to me. He said, "Bro McClain, just be careful because you'll get somebody upset." I said, well, hallelujah, because if I could upset somebody and it would turn their apple cart upside down and they would realize that God Almighty is not happy. We're living in a world that's so caught up. May I propose this? Where is your living God? If you profess Christianity, how many times have you prayed the prayer of faith that God healed somebody? Well, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a prophetess. I'm not called of God. No, you are a servant of God. Well, hallelujah. The flesh of people right now are standing up and raising up. There's people reacting over things that's going on in the world. They're crazy. People are wanting this, they're wanting that. And when it's their way, they get excited and they're happy. And they close up and they quit squealing. And when something comes the wrong way, they get all barking and squying and crying and starts pitching fits and acting crazy. And we look on the outside. We look back in the world and we're like, boy, this is wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. And we think we can fix all this stuff. But let me propose something to you this morning. Have you looked in the mirror at yourself? And what are you doing for God? People have the Holy Ghost 100 years. I had never met one yet. Brother Collins, how long you had the Holy Ghost? 56 years. Anybody beat that this year, today? There's some in here, I know there's. Brother Bobby, how long you had the Holy Ghost? 300? 60 years, I'm playing. Anybody beat 60 years in here? 66. Anybody beat that? I'm not talking a negative in this, and I'm not saying Brother Bobby's guilty or Sister Patrick's guilty, but I'm talking about this. There's going to be people that have the Holy Ghost 60 years that's going to go to hell. How do you know that, Brother McClain? Because the Word of God says that. Where is the living God? I kept praying this, and I got in there this morning and started talking to God, and God began to talk to me. He said the only way that the day of Pentecost could come to fruition was they were all in one mind, one accord, one place. Brother McClain, you don't understand. It's bad. I have problems all my life. And yeah, you're going to keep on having the problems. And you're probably going to die one day with your problems because you don't know who the real God is. Well, I talked in tongues. There was an initial time in your life where you repented of your sins. You asked God to forgive you. And when you ask God to forgive you, the Holy Ghost came down. Anybody remember that first initial experience? There's a lot of things I forgot. Carly, you looked at me smiling. You just kind of got that hand up dignified. Can I propose this to you? In your personal way, and I'm trying to hurry. I hadn't touched the base of my notes. If I had to, I'll finish it tonight. But have you gone back and relived what God did for you at that initial entering of the Holy Ghost into your life? The visitation when the Almighty God walked into you. Heard this remark made. Somebody got the Holy Ghost. Man, they was fanatic. They were like Wilder than a March hare. Man, they was going crazy. They was shaking their fingers. Man, they just walked out of the church and they're like, I've never felt this liberty. They come out of drugs. It was in the old church. And they just walking out. And man, Bishop was still pastor and I was just assistant. And I'd been out by the foyer getting a drink of water out of that hot water fountain. That nasty tasting thing. They put on their hot sauna water. Cleanses all within. They couldn't fix it. It's pretty funny. You go over to get a cool drink of water. It's like, oh, I didn't know I was drinking coffee out of a water machine. Praise God. And that lady walked out of the church, and she was like, her feet was just, it's kind of like that black gentleman who got the Holy Ghost out of the baptistry, and Bishop was baptized. Brother Long, you probably remember because you was helping with a lot of the baptism stuff and ushering. And he didn't wait for Dad to kind of get it all settled. It was in the old church. I was young. He was youth leader and stuff, Brother Jerry and him. And he come over the top of the baptistry. And he run around slinging water on everybody. I said, put the holy water on all of them, God. Sick them, Jesus. I'm standing there, and I turned around, and she come by, and I said, hey, lady, I'm so happy for you. She goes, oh, you just don't know. I said, no, I don't know where God brought you from, but mine wasn't like yours, but mine, I had mine on. And standing there, as they walked out the double doors of the church, I heard some old-timers make this statement. Oh, the new, if they only knew, the new will wear off, and it won't be there anymore. Know what they meant, and I kind of backed away, and I turned and I walked out of that room. And there's a lot of things in life I don't remember church, and you understand, because of all the problems. But God allows certain things that impacted Orland to come back to my memory. As I walked in that office later, it was a couple of days. Dad and I was up here working on something I don't remember, and I remember asking Daddy. The Lord brought it back to my memory. I said, "No, God, what did they mean?" I'm trying to go through my trial of life and learn. And it was like this morning, he said, they forgot who I am. They look like who they profess they are. And the Holy Ghost really began to talk to me about the living God. I'm the one who controls who lives inside of me. You think the politics of this world is crazy? The politics of the church is crazy. We got to quit worrying about everybody around us and what they don't do or they do, and start worrying because we got to work out our own salvation. I'm going to be very blunt when I make this statement. There's going to be people that's going to scream from hell one day and say, hey, why didn't you tell me, Brother McClain? I'm telling you this morning, the living God has got to come out of your mouth on a daily basis to make it to heaven. You got to relive what you had when you got the Holy Ghost the first time. The living God has got to possess you. It's got to obsess you. The tenacity of the Holy Ghost, you got to have enough faith that when there's somebody that's got a problem, faith can come out of your mouth. I'm a child of God. I've been bought by that price. I've been paid for. My cost has been paid for. My sins have been paid for. I'm more than a conqueror. We've tried to dignify the Holy Ghost. We've tried to professionalize the church. You got to have the right boom, 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 boom. You got to have the right soul. You got to have these big screens. You got to have the Jehovah's Witness moving in the building. What's a Jehovah's Witness? Find out, pray. I don't know, it sounded like a crazy word. I just made it up. It's not in the dictionary, I promise. Got to have a soft chair to sit on. Rock-a-bye, baby. In a soft chair of the church. When hell is falling and the people in the world are going to hell daily in moments, seconds. Well, I paid my tithes, Brother McClain. No, you didn't pay tithes. I'm attacking that spirit. You don't pay tithes. God entrusts you to give that back to him because that's God's money. My God, I'm going to say it one more time. You don't pay tithes. Well, he just wants some more money today. I'd care less. I'm going to preach the word. But if you don't pay your tithes, God said, I want 10% of your increase. Increase. What's increase? You get a gift card from somebody for $100 for your birthday? Well, that's not increase, that's a gift. Oh. Tithes runs the church. No, it don't. That's God's money. Offerings runs the church. Boy, I'm hair-lipping some people in here. Good, I hope I do. If you're going to justify your ticket to heaven by giving back to God what God gave you, you won't go to heaven. I'm not here to preach about money this morning. I felt that little buffer in the Holy Ghost again. There's something about this thing where we got to forget what we're giving to God. God's given more to you when he gave you the Holy Ghost than you can ever give to God. We can't ever outgive God. Well, hallelujah. Man, preacher, this is a little tight and rough on in 2022. That's why the world's so messed up. That's why they're starting new religions every day. They're trying to find another place to find the Spirit of God. Well, I'm going to develop the 21 disputable, undisputable. What's it called, Brother Long? Irrefutable. I'll get it out in a minute. Laws of going to heaven. I'm going to get a new screen. It's going to be Jitterbehotus, you know. I'm going to have the best musician that come from Hollywood. And man, I'm going to have it all, and we're going to have a church, and we're going to build a masterpiece. These masterpiece churches, you know what happens? Every 2 to 5 years, the congregation swaps, and a new one comes in because people don't know what it is, and it's nothing different than just another way of looking at life, and there's no power inside it. There's no Holy Ghost inside it. People say, well, I felt something in there. You may tell you why. Because this word, when you start quoting the word, there's something about the word that's alive. It's the living word that never stops, never dies. I'm hurrying along. I'm still on page one. Thank you, Paul. All that pop is respect. Like that smile. There's something got to happen. We got to quit looking at each other. One thing, Brother Long, that book, I started again. I think I'm on my third time. Don't remember the first chapter. But there's just something about it. I just said, oh, God. There's got to be a unity somewhere that comes into church. If the living God is going to be here inside this beautiful sanctuary with the beautiful people of God that come here to hear the word and give out the word and profess the word and possess the word. Brother Philip said, Brother McClain, we got to have revival. He said, Hunter, soul revivals or something that's gone. I said, because the same spirit of Hitler. Back in that era when the Berlin Wall closed and fell and all those spirits that were there, men has lifted themselves up into gods within themselves. Saints of God, and I love you this morning. I love everybody. I try my best to be open and transparent to anybody. But it's not about a position. It's not about $500 million in tithes. Pastor's just going to buy more land and more car. No. Don't have nothing to do with that. But if you're trying to buy a ticket by just doing little bits of this, you're not in it for everything. You know, finances was talked about by Jesus more than any other substance or subject in the Bible. Why did he say it's harder for a rich man? And a camel through the eye of a needle. A rich man that had integrity. He had everything. He come to Jesus and said, Lord, what lackest thou? He said, go sell all that you've got and give to the poor and follow me. Because Jesus knew in his spirit. Am I telling you that's what you got to do? Absolutely not. I'm not building another kingdom where pastor runs everything, tells you when you can go to the restroom. That's your business, please. We drop our offering and puff ourselves out. You look across the church, I bet I give more than you do. Not me, Brother McClain. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Because you're trying to look and justify what you feel within the securities of your life. And that's financial things. And he said, hey, you can't trust in this world. This world's going to fall. Let me give a little bit more explanation. I'm hurrying. I promise I'll be done by 2:30. This world is so caught up. When I look at problems that people come talk to me about, am I saying, well, we just don't worry about nothing. We just go have fun, live life, and live for God, just get consumed with Him, and everything's good. I didn't say that. I'm saying it publicly, online. Pastor didn't say that. He said, be diligent. Be a good steward with what God gives you. That's why we're teaching Dave's Ramsey class. Amen? We can allow our hands to control the money and not the money to control us. There's budgets, there's principles, there's things and values. But the living God gives us direction when we make decisions if we allow Him to help us make decisions. I said the living God. The same one that was the same yesterday. Joshua 2:11. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. The living God is for you to possess, profess, and to live. You want to have success, you got to give all you got to God in the spirit realm. You got to saturate your friends with positive word. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be around people just My poor wife, she gets to hear negative from me because I just don't have nowhere else to dump it. I try to give it to God, but you got to have somebody you trust. But even that, if I give all of it to God and I'm in prayer and I give everything to Him, I don't have nothing negative left to say. When I go to her, it's just, oh, son, you look good, mama. Oh, hallelujah. I think I wrote a note this morning to her. I don't remember how I said it. I probably messed up a good note, but anyway, it's personal business. But I tried to make sure everything was positive. I believe it was, right? I hope so. Didn't have my glasses on. Boy, them excuses feel good, don't they? I can see all of you perfect. Look down here at these font on this iPad. I don't know about seeing perfect. There's something in the spirit realm in this church this morning that the Holy Ghost is wanting to shake everybody in this building. You desire for more of God. God says, I desire to give it to you. How do you get it? They that wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we'll renew your strength. When it's good, He'll renew your strength. When it's bad, He'll renew your strength. Well, He said He shall renew. Faithfulness, desire. It's time we put a bark back in our spirit. told Brother Phillips this morning, I think it was him or Brother Huntley yesterday when he called in the Bible quiz. I said, there's something about it, Brother Huntley. Brother Huntley in the prayer room, the men's prayer room. I said, there's something about this. I feel in my heart so strongly that I got to preach like I've never preached about the commitment to God, the relationship of God, the deity of God, who God is and where he's at. Because there's going to be people that scream from hell, sitting on a pew, dedicated, serving God, serving the church, giving offerings, tithes, and all these things. But their attitude, I'm somebody. There's widows coming in. There's drug addicts coming. There's people that need help. There's people that need God, and we've experienced him in the fullness, but they don't want the stinking attitude. They don't want that selfish mentality. It's time the new that's wore off of the people of God comes back and gets afresh. God's not going to come down here and demand you to fall in love with him, because he's already paid the cost. He's already given everything. He's done all he can do. And now he's waiting on every soul in this world. He's desiring. Propose a question. Okay, she starts playing. I don't know. I follow the Holy Ghost. God wants me to come back finished tonight. I will. If this world turns upside down tomorrow, if politics explodes and the revolt happens and revolution, whatever's going to happen, nobody knows. Somebody says, what do you believe? You leave post, pre, trib, where are you at? What do you believe? I said, you know what? No man knows the day or the hour. You don't know enough. I don't care how much Bible you got. I've talked to elders in this and they look at me and smile. I said, where do we come from? Nobody knows the hour when we're going to leave this world. We got to live every day as today's the day. We got to quit focusing on when God's coming. Are we already in something? Are we out of something? Where? Well, see, there's a deliberation in the homiletics and all this mess that people get tied up in, and they quit learning how to pray. They quit learning how to pray the prayer of faith and win souls and just do what God wants us to do. Be in the world but not of the world. It don't matter. Somebody's going to hell today. Somebody's life's missing to call out. What are you doing to try to help them? We go into restaurants and we're hungry. I'm starving. I heard somebody say that. They can smell them cinnamon rolls yesterday. I'm starving. I remember so many people mentioned coffee, sugar. It smelled so wonderful. Blueberry, gluten-free muffins. Ooh. You ever expressed how hungry you are to anybody? Oh, I could tell so many people, so you're fasting, I'm sorry. You're so holy. Help us, God, for lying this morning. When I get hungry, I'll tell anybody I'm hungry. You can tell. God said, if you can voice that about the things of the flesh, when have you told somebody recently, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for a soul. I'm hungry for something I hadn't had in a long time. Last night I told my wife, and I said, I want to go eat something I hadn't had in a long time. I don't know what I want. What is it? She said, I don't know. And ate some Thai food down at the little place, and oh, it was so good. I ate part of it. I couldn't eat it all. It was just too much food. Them noodle things, I don't know what you call them. And thank God I said it was a number one, because if I'd said a number three, I'd have been out the door. Took a bite and I got choked and couldn't hardly swallow. It passed my dream. It left me burning. there's something that's got to happen to each and every one of us this morning, church. Guest friend, this pastor's preaching to you in your own relationship. I'm not judging anybody. No, I'm not judging nobody. God is the judge. Somebody's delivered from something that you've never been a part of. The laws that we've got to learn in Christianity is when somebody gets something that you don't have and don't understand it, don't speak your heart and don't speak the words that you don't understand. Don't profess and spew out negativity. Provoke the positive things. What would happen if somebody gets delivered from a life that we don't know anything about and we walk up? Come on. I'm so excited with you. When they come in and they start dancing, they don't know how to keep their feet still. Why? Because you don't understand. They were shooting up every day. They should have already been dead, and you've been sheltered for 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 5 years. Say, I don't know about you, and I've been removed. It's been a week or two since I really had that kind of, oh my. Been a year since I'd had Thai food like that. It's gluten-free and soy-free. And oh, I just was enjoying every bite of it. Oh, it's good. What would happen to the Christian world if we got so obsessed with God? And when someone comes in and they come to an altar and they're so wound up in drugs and alcohol, whatever it is, they're bound with depression. And when God delivers them, they don't know what to do. They're wiping their mouth and their tears are rolling, and we jump up and this is my opportunity to get something I've never had before. How do you do that? Where two or three agree. But instead, we're caught up in living in our position of comfort. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for forgiveness. We're professional Christians. The living God is looking down from heaven and said, when are you going to demand my attention every day? When you're walking down the roads of pressure of life, are you going to demand me? Is retirement more important than lives and souls? What did God do for you when he gave you the Holy Ghost? What did God forgive you of? What are you doing with what he gave you? Are you burying it? That's why he gave us parables in the Word of God. There is a living God that is in this building this morning. He seeks to help. He seeks to pick up this morning and wipe away the facade of conditions of life. I'm giving you an opportunity to find a place in prayer this morning, whether it's in your chair or at this altar. Say, God, would you forgive me one more time and renew in me, restore in me what you gave me when I first found you in the Holy Ghost? Are you going to sit there dignified in your little professional conception of deception? The born birthing of something that will lead your soul to hell? Are you going to say, God, I got to have something more? Give me the tuck spirit. Give me that barking spirit this morning that I'm not going to leave this building in a few minutes of time. Just happy living in my little world while people are dying and going to hell every second. Well, McLean, this is not right. This is not really good to preach in 22. You better believe it is. If there was ever a greater time to preach like this, it's in this world we live in right now. You hear me? One world government's coming. Truth is going to be tested. How are we going to react when they tell you you got to denounce God, period? If you're a Christian, we're going to take your life. I don't believe that's coming. You better mark it down. Something's going to happen to this world. Across the building, can you close your eyes and pray? Pour my heart out to this people today. Don't wait for tonight to get everything in order. Don't wait for next week to get everything in order. My friend, he's calling you. Remember, everything you've got, God gave it to you. Every home you've got, God gave it to you. Every car you've got, God gave it to you. Every dollar in your bank account, God gave it to you. Oh, I worked for it. I got a degree, but McClain, yeah, you got a degree, but God gave you the ability to perform. With desperation, I'm seeking you, God. I got to have you. I got to have you. Come on.